Blog Talk Radio.
I already hooked up and everything. Just push play. The very last one on the end. You got the phone up to it? Oh. Do you have that phone hung up? That one is hung up. Assalamu alaikum. Do you have yours on? I'm going to put this one back on the hook.
Oh, hang that one up. This one right here, hang it up. This one up. This one.
Hi, Sam Lake. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, The Message of Concern. The show is sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School.com. Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School.com. Sponsored the show, and Brother Amin Muhammad is the sponsor also, who's sponsoring Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. We'd like to start off with a prayer. Oh, the Al-Fatiha. I'm sorry for a little mix up with the computer and location tonight with the computer. That's why we were getting started a little bit late. Oh, the Bilai Mini Shaitan Nirjim. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rek Bilai Lamin. Rahman Rahim Man. Iyak and Abur Huayak and Astain. Ekvenes Rolto Mustakin. Sabralto ladin inamta alayhim, khayru magdubi alayhim, walidolin, I mean, Sasik refuge of Allah from the rejected enemy. Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds, the most merciful redeemer. The most merciful, most redeemer, master of the day of judgment, which we now live, the alone do we worship, the alone do we serve, the alone do we worship. O Allah, please show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace upon. Those whose wrath is brought, not those whose wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray after hearing thy teachings, I mean. Whew. Once again, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to The Message of Concern, and is sponsored by the show, Blog Talk Radio Show, is sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School.com. In case you want to look it up, Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School.com, coming out of California, sponsored also by Brother Amin Muhammad. Well, welcome back. I'm your host, Sister Daya Hanan Shabazz Hyphen Akbar. Which is one of the hosts on Tuesday nights and Sunday nights, which focuses on the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children, which we all know about that, and the children are still important, very important to us, and we cannot forget them. We cannot forget their safety. We cannot forget their education and all that's due to them, which we are responsible for. Alhamdulillah. We pray a lot of blessings all with the patience, prayer, and perseverance to be able to fulfill our mission. To fulfill our mission, inshallah. A lot of things have changed, but yet still, a lot of things haven't changed. And the Message of Concern will deal with that. And we're going to, well, mainly with the brothers on the Saturday nights, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, every night, but, and even on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, they deal with it also, the Message of Concern, with some of the things that some things that have not changed. Okay,
like have plenty participation tonight, if you don't mind. I'm still a little bit under the weather, but thank Allah, I'm not as bad as I was, but I'm still holding on, inshallah, by Allah's grace and mercy. So please help me out with some participation tonight and concerns about our children and solutions and current events, things that are happening and occurring now as we speak in this day and time, which we mainly, I guess, speaking on the virus, which doesn't seem to want to go away right now, and I guess we can just about look for it and probably be prepared for it for another year, I guess. You know, that's what I'm thinking about another year, because they have to get clear with what's at hand right now before they can start on something new or something for the future to be able to let it be steady and some people can look forward to as far as better conditions. And the weather itself, too, is playing an important part in all of that. And we've got the snows and the floodings and a little bit of tornadoes or before that. But inshallah, we got through all of that. Snow's still lingering in some places. We know that, especially Chicago and Nashville, Tennessee, my home. And other places up north for my sisters and my brother and my relatives are in Newark, New Jersey, Montclair, New Jersey, New York. So we're still just holding on. I don't know. Well, snow, yeah, maybe in New York. I don't think it's much right now, but it's on its way. If it's not there, I'm going to have to speak with Brother Muhammad about that to really check that out. But my family's in Newark, New Jersey, in Montclair, New Jersey. So, looking for brother. Brother, I have to walk slowly too, because this arthritic knee is really letting the weather have its way. You know, could I get my book right here? I want to start out like I usually start out, with Brother Henry's book titled What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Brother Henry S. Muhammad. Just want to point out, since this is also a message of concern, this is just the night that we focus on the children, I want to point out two of the chapters and their verses that's in the King James Version of the Holy Bible and one of the surahs from the Holy Quran, and they're talking about that graven image, which is a part of which is the message of concern. Okay, the first chapter that I want to speak on right now is Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, this is in King James Version of the Holy Bible. And the other chapter is Deuteronomy, in the same King James Version of the Holy Bible. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. And it also says, thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. And they sound so much alike because the wording is the same. Maybe just rearrange a little bit, but the wording is the same, and the meaning is the same. So I wanted to point that out to anybody in the audience that or the guests that might not have noticed that. And it is something to pay special attention to, just in case there are some doubts about that message of concern, that image. And you know, the message of concern is also talking about the removal of all images from worship. that portray divine, removal of all images from worship that portray divine, what, regardless to the color it is or what have you. You know, we're talking about the statues, we're talking about the crosses, and any other images that they worship that portray divine. Okay, I want to bear witness that there's no God but Allah, the one and only creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, the one creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen, and that Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet and the seal of the prophets, and peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon him. So now, that book that Brother Henry, I just read from, I gave you the title, we won't go back to it, with the exception of this, it has pictures in there as a courtesy from the Library of Congress of people of color, explanations for children so that they cannot be, so that they can know the truth for the parents and for anyone else who will take the time to read it to them and tell them, you know. And sometimes periodically I do read a couple of the short pages, the little short chapters. It's 26 chapters and 126 pages in the book, so it's not a big book, but it's full of knowledge, full of knowledge. I'm glad to see those who are on the program, who are on Blog Talk Radio show tonight. And if you have, you want to start it off with any type of a conversation or concern, or you want to share it, any concern with us, you can push one in the queue. You push one on your receiver, on your phone receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue to voice your concerns. And I'm sure we always have plenty of them, because last night the brothers were jumping. I tell you, they had the board full, and my husband has started to take it upon himself, take it as his response, one of his responsibilities for the Blog Talk Radio Show Message of Concern on the brothers' nights. Then he said that he will be doing the board for me. That's a blessing right there. That he will be doing the board for me, and that's a blessing right there. So he's had it for the nights, too, that the brothers have been on here recently. So if you have any concerns, please just push one on your phone receiver, and you'll be brought into the cube. As we know, this virus has not gone yet. As a matter of fact, there's another one added on. It's supposed to be worse than the ones we had before. And then the flu comes along with it, so they, like a double dose, and they have combined the two of them, because the symptoms are so close. You know, the symptoms are so close. You can't tell if you got the flu, or you can't tell if you got that virus. So a lot of times it's just how I am concerned, but just how it has really gotten to me, I can't seem to remember the name easily, like I did the coronavirus. And I've been to, I think it was another one. Yeah, I can't seem to remember this one, the name of this one, so easily. But it is a whammy. It is a whammy. There it is, Omicron. It's called Omicron, right in my face on my cell phone. I look okay. And it says Omicron's winter surge. New York case rates are lowering down. New York case rates are lowering down. Governor Hochul said, but COVID hospitalizations are still rising. Okay, COVID hospitalizations are still rising, but the Omicron, which is the new virus here, it's winter surge. The cases rates are slowing down, and this is in New York City. Slowing down, the rates are slowing down as the cases, but hospitalizations are still rising. So that means that people are still coming into the hospitals. And with it, since now they got the Omicrons and the other that goes to it, the flu Omicron, they're putting them together. So when people go into the hospitals now, they don't know if they have the flu or the Omicron. So when they finish checking it out and all that sort of thing, then they'll find out if they have one or the other or both. You know, and that can be real serious. We've had about the last month, we have had deaths practically all month, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week here at El Mu'minun, and even here some in Atlanta Masjid as well. So, you know, it's rolling like a snowball. So we have to not be so, what should I say, unconcerned. We have to be serious about this. Stop playing around with this. You know, and we do have strong faith, and we believe in Allah, but it says tie your camel and trust in Allah. Tie your camel and then trust in Allah. You know, so you got to do your part too. So you do your part to make sure that your immune system is kept up by eating the right foods, like Sister Rashida Hill says on the Lifeline, and I've heard her say it other times. Make your kitchen your medicine cabinet. You know, or let your kitchen be your medicine cabinet, meaning not a lot of man-made medicine or whatever. But the foods that you eat, wholesome foods that you eat, natural foods and teas and all that we partake in our bodies, you know, not sodas and a lot of other drinks, except for the natural drinks, the teas, herbal teas and all. Sister Quran is good with that. I mentioned that we were going to even probably, if we can start having a part of our day on Tuesdays and Sundays as a little medical information, you know, because Sister Quran knows all about all different type of herbs and leaves and like she's like a Back to Eating book, you know, that book Back to Eating, where it has all of the remedies, old remedies and all that. It would be good and behoove a lot of us to go back to that, even like the time, during the time of Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. You know, we ate good. That's when they came up with the saying that no one eats better than a Muslim. You know, no one eats better than a Muslim. You could always tell, too, and especially with our brothers, because their skin would be so clean. And when they wear their bow tie and they put their suits on, I tell you, handsome brothers, men, you know, real men. And we still have some today. Still have some today. I just had to bring that out. And the same with the MGT and GCC. You could tell we were eating right and living right. And our systems were cleaned because a lot of us stopped doing a lot of things like smoking and drinking and drugging and all those other things that were not healthy for our bodies and not good for us, you know. So people could see that we had changed and they noticed the difference. And they call us those clean Muslims, yep. also we can get back to that same way. There's some still there like that, still live and patterned by that. So it kept us here for so long. Kept us here so long, alhamdulillah, because we haven't forgotten our foundation from the Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. Even though we realize that Imam Debedin Muhammad came to teach us the Quran, but the Elijah Muhammad taught us to clean up ourselves, how to clean up ourselves and receive some knowledge and realize our worth, you know, and not just throw our lives away. So we had that teaching. There was a good sound teaching, and it lasts right today. You know, it's the kind of teaching that never leaves you. I mean, you may do a lot of things to sway. Some people may do some things to sway, but they could never forget. I'm sure they could never, ever forget, inshallah. Pray they don't, because half the time, a lot of times, this brings them back home, you know. And we all have a journey. We all have our own journey to, our Christians used to say, my grandmother, this teacher's journey, you know. We have to walk this teacher's journey. We have to walk it for ourselves. Nobody else can walk it for us. We got to walk it for ourselves. So we all have a story to tell, and we all have a journey, you know, a teacher's journey that we have to complete, and that we walked, and some of us still walking, and inshallah, that we'll be successful and be able to complete our walk the way it is pleasing to Allah, the way it's pleasing to Allah and written in the Holy Quran, and the way we were taught, inshallah. To do it for all of us, all of us. Okay, now, is there anyone out there already who would like to say something or mention something? Just indicate it on your phone. I mean, your phone number. Indicated, yes, by pushing 1 on your cell phone. Receiver, telephone, and receiver, and we bring you into the cube. I know everyone has heard of the injection that they have for children less than 5 or children under 5. You see. And all this is unnecessary. And right now, they're even trying to determine if they're going to have school or not. A lot of people are worried and concerned more about the money that the people are doing without, because they're teachers, you know, they're educators, and they have the virtual. A lot of children don't have the computers, or there's nobody at home to help them. And then they may go into the school building for a class once a week, or maybe twice a week, you know, but our children are still doing without education, and this is why it's so important for us to get our children back and get places for them to be taught, and the people who can teach them, you know, and not really be so much concerned about the money or doing without the money or doing without a lot of the money. Some of it may be cut. It may not be able to get as much as you did get, or some of us may not be getting any at all. Then you know that we are dedicated, you know, because our children cannot do without this education. They cannot. They missed out on a lot. They've been denied a lot already. So we have to do what we can, and it takes time, and you'd be surprised how some of us are really trying to rush mentally and physically, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually. It takes all three of those measures to meet this task, to meet this task. But it has to be done. And we have to stick together and do it. We just have to stick together and do it. Less talk and more work, but then, too, strategies, work. Just because you don't talk don't mean you don't work. Doesn't mean you don't work. Just because you don't talk a lot about it. But just because you talk a lot about it, it doesn't mean that you work. you know, as much as you talk. So we're going to equal, excuse me, we're going to equal those things out and work and talk, strategize, you know, we can do it. We can do it. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. Yes, that's why we have to strive to be upright, strive to, and be sincere, to be true believing Muslims, true believing Muslims, striving to be upright. We got to keep that motto in our head, just as we did when they, what they call the first resurrection, just exactly the way we did back in the day. We have to be just as serious now, even more serious now, because things are slacking up a little bit. We're not militant. We don't have to have maybe a captain or lieutenant, you know, be searched or all. I don't know about that, because we may need some of us. We went to the centers or the masters. We may need to be searched, you know, but that too, we have some good observers, and we can see through your coat pockets or the hem of your coat or suit you may have on, but we can notice with keen eyes and observations, you know, we can notice some things too, so maybe the searching won't be necessary in all instances. Some instances, yes, but not all instances. Okay, I remember the search. I found marijuana sticks. I found knives, straight razors and everything in the hem of coats and things that have come through into the masjid first. You know, once you do your explaining to them what you're getting ready to do and get their okay and explain to them why we're doing it, you know, then we find a lot of things. Yes, I covered just about every post in the mosque. I did, and I loved it. Loved it. Okay. Now it's 7:40, and we have to see. What was next in mind here that I was supposed to be doing? Oh. Oh, my. Trying to see something else here that I had. You know, these phones are okay, but once they get overloaded and you can't seem to get rid of a lot of stuff on them right away, and then you have to take up time trying to find it and go back to it and all this sort of thing. But just bear with me, please. I'm trying to find it. Looking for some of the business adventures that I had seen. Find you.
As a lake of
my. Somebody called us and they were making this a lot. So why did they call? Okay, it's just telling some information. Yeah, I won't go through that. I'll let somebody else who may want to do that, talking about where the, excuse me, where the Omicron was first, okay, let me see, Omicron was in Canadian water, wastewater. Omicron was in Canadian wastewater in November before it was found in South Africa, say researchers. That's what they say. That's what they say. So in other words, then if it was in wastewater in Canada, in the Canadian wastewater, then it got all the way to Canada. I mean, got all the way to Africa. Then what happened prior to Canada? I mean, they want to leave you so. See, they want to leave you so scared doing everything, you know. Now they come up with these vaccines, and I pray a lot to bless everyone who did take the vaccine and who plan on taking the vaccine. And we all have to, we all have to do what we think is best for ourselves. Talking about sports betting profits and all this sort of thing about the virus. Okay, I can't find the one I was looking for. I can't find the one I was looking for, and I'm sorry. But I thank you for your patience, and I would like for you to say something. Just say, Assalamu alaikum. Let me hear your voice, and I'll be so grateful. Oh, my. Imam Muhammad Abdullah, the sister, she says, Assalamu alaikum, dear readers. Here is a photo below. I promise to send of Loretta Ali from her hospital bed. She's in good, positive spirits. I'm looking forward to her being discharged as soon as possible. Keep the faith. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's imam. She's in the hospital bed with one finger raised, hooked up to oxygen and stuff. So, it says, answers are all soccer's play prayers. Allah answers all soccer's prayers and salutations in Allah. Time, Allah is the healer. That's what the sender is saying. Excuse me if I could just get this choking out of my throat, this phlegm. Like I just continue to get this. But anyway, okay. Well, what I'm going to do is, I'm moving slow. I have to get back up out of this chair. I'm going to just go and get the book from Brother Henry, and there's something I want to read out of it. It's going to snow, y'all. It's going to snow real soon in Atlanta, Georgia, here. Yeah. It's going to snow real soon. Wow-wee. Because my arthritis is
really acting up on me. Got me barely, can't sit down too long in one spot. Struggle to get up out of it. And then make a step. Sometimes I try to walk without my cane to build up some strength, but then in my leg, but then I was told that I'm making it weak for the other leg that's good. I'm making the other leg weak by exerting it so much, pressing down on it so much, trying to protect the one that's ailing me. Okay, got the book. I want to read the one. Here she is, about the little girl. One of my favorites. Because this is really good for the children to know. A lot of them are told these old fables and these old dark stories about your skin color is not a curse. You have to know that your skin color is not a curse. They have to know that. A lot of children think and are told, especially by the older, some of the older generation of people, grandparents, great-grandparents, that dark-skinned children's skin is dark because it's a curse. In this book, in chapter 12 of Brother Henry's, it says, chapter 12, page 55, it says, your skin color is not a curse. Excuse me, please. Your skin color is not a curse. Okay, and a little pictures here of her and from the world, from the Library of Congress. A picture of her sitting at the threshold upstairs of her little porch here. She's smiling, so beautiful, so beautiful. Okay, looks to be about 3 years old. Okay, and it reads, when we read the Holy Quran, we see where God Almighty says, He created a human being in the very best form. As we study the nature of human skin, we learn that our Creator designed our skin and our skin color to function as a protector for us and not as a curse against us. The physical sunlight has within it harmful ultraviolet rays, which can burn and destroy healthy skin cells, causing deadly skin cancers to develop. Within the skin of every human being is a substance called melanin. Melanin is responsible for creating the differences in skin color that we see in human beings. Now, the fact of the matter is that there is just as much melanin in people with lighter skin as there is in people with darker skin. It's just that the melanin is more active in the darker skinned person than it is in the lighter skinned person. When harmful ultraviolet rays attack the skin, melanin rises to the surface of the skin and acts as a shield or umbrella, warding off much of the deadly cancer-causing ultraviolet rays. So the truth is that the darkness in a dark-skinned person's skin is a wonderful protection designed by God and not a punishing curse from God. So, the question becomes, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lying, sick-minded racist which told you that the darkness of the African-American person's skin is a punishing curse? Or are you going to believe God? God, who created the darkness of the African-American person's skin to act as a blessed protection against the deadly cancer-causing ultraviolet rays of the skin. Let me read that over, okay, because I kind of like, okay, are you going to believe the lying, sick-minded racist who told you that the darkness of the African-American person's skin is a punishing curse, or Are you going to believe God, who created the darkness of the African-American person's skin, to act as a blessed protection against the deadly cancer causing ultraviolet rays of the skin? Melanin sounds like a blessing from God to me and not a punishing curse. Now, that's the melanin of the skin. And that means that our children should no longer think that their skin is dark because they're cursed. Okay, but because of that's one of their first big vocabulary words, melanin. Melanin. And what its purpose is. And then they'll know that Allah put it there for a purpose, for protection for their skin from ultraviolet rays from the sun that can cause cancer. So the melanin serves as an umbrella to keep the sun from shining directly on them. But now the story behind that is now is the ozone level has opened up, and the direct sun is what we get now in most parts of the world, especially here in North America. The direct sun from the sun, which causes a lot of us people to have skin cancer, because the ozone level where the sun was protected with and shielded with, it's opening up and it's spreading wider, and we can look that up. So that's something to look up too, because it has to do with our earth warming, and I forget the name that's being used, because President Barack Obama was very particularly concerned about global warming. That's what it is, global warming, and the earth situation, how to save the earth from a lot of things. Okay, Sister Quran just called and said that she was on the board, and she has a hand raised, but I don't see her hand being raised. I see her number, and I see that she's on the listening mode, but she has not pushed. She has not pushed the one on her receiver as yet. And I think she's on, she's with the 3149 extension. That's Sister Quran. But it does not indicate that she wants to say anything, because that hand is not up there. I don't know if it's the one that's on her receiver not working or what. But I'm going to bring her in, since she did call on my husband's phone to say that she was, her hand is up to say something, but she didn't know if I saw it or not. No, I did not see it, but I'm going to bring her in and see if we can get her now. Well, it just keeps going around and around and around and around. Is that her? Yeah, that's Quran. Something's wrong with her phone. Maybe you have to change your phone, Quran. Maybe you may have to change the from this phone to the other phone, because this one is acting up, the one that you're on now with the 49 on the end. Because I can't even bring you in. It just keeps continuing circling around when I try to turn on your mic. The arrows on your mic, and there's a circle that just continues to go around and around and around and will not open up your mic. So I don't know what to do about that, unless you do use the other phone, because this one evidently is not working. And I'm pushing it. It's circling. It's not working, so I'm going to just put you back at the mute state and maybe you can get a chance to use the other phone. oh no, it's, now it's not going to go out from the circulate, from the, well, no, you, it's not, it's in both of them. It's in the listening mode and it's circling. Circling around your mic for your mic to come on, but your mic won't come up. It just continues to circle. The arrows on it in the circle just continues to go around your mic as if it's, it wants to try and get in, but it's not. It won't let you in, okay? So try another phone, and let's see if we can go on and do something else now until you can come on. So you see, Abba, you see this, the circle continues to go around her mic. It continues to go around her mic, but it won't open the mic. The phone itself is not working. It's still on the listening mode. I wanted you to be able to see it too, you know, because that's what's going on with it. Okay. Well, I'm waiting for Kawan to come in, but she can't come in. Tell her to hang up and call back, Akbar. Because she can't hear me. Can she hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Kawan, would you hang up and call back, please? Kawan, would you hang up and call back, please? And then maybe you'll be able to, I can be able to open your mic, because right now I'm not being too successful with it at all. She can't hear me, Agba. keeps going around and around, circling, circling, circling. I can't do anything. Can't do anything. Okay. Now I guess I'll try and try something else.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Assalam. Yeah, alhamdulillah. I hear about your dilemma that you're having there. Every, you know, so I dialed in, thought maybe I could help.
I don't know. Stuck between a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah, let's see if I can open them and see, because I see Shuja opened up for Shuja.
Well, that's
and
for the wrong.
Okay.
Now she's saying Assalamu alaikum. But here at this, now what is this, 323? The first, the area code 323, last four digits is 3149. Is that you, Quran?
Yeah, that's me, but you didn't hear me. And then when I got on Shuja's phone, you know, because I heard you say get on Shuja's phone. So when I got on his phone, and I guess you didn't hear me on there, too, until he unmuted me.
I don't see Shuja's number up here. I only see the first one that I called out, the 323, the last four digits, 3149. And that's the first one that was here, and that's the one that I pushed when you called my husband's phone to let him know that you had indicated you wanted to come into the queue, and I couldn't
get,
I couldn't open your mic, and the circle is still going around your mic and not opening.
If
you're on mute still.
Yeah, I don't know what's probably the technology. You know that those machines ain't nothing perfect, but a law. That's what I'm saying.
I don't see
Suja's
number on here at all.
That's right.
I still see the same number that you have.
But we're on now.
I get that tone of voice. We're on now.
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
That's one thing we got to remember. Ain't nothing. Anything man discover or invent is not perfect because the man not perfect.
Yeah, that's
alhamdulillah.
Right. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And what'd you say, Akbar? What did you say, Akbar? You can't hear her? Okay. I don't want to do this because I don't want to disconnect. Okay, Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, can you hear it now, Akbar? It's up loud now. Okay. Yeah, so you got it, Sis Quran.
Alhamdulillah, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. What I want to say is, you know, always about our children. And our children, I heard a lot of mothers, sisters, and mothers crying yesterday or today about their children. And I felt them, alhamdulillah. And our children going around talking about they ain't Muslim no more. And one thing, when they say that, you know, and I said to myself, I don't know which one is the worst. Your children coming in, talking about they are homosexual, or either they talking about they ain't Muslim no more. And I said, what could you say to them? So I said, what we could say to our children when they say that is, you ask them, you say, do you believe in God, that in one God who created the heaven, the earth, the sun, the moon, and everything that exists? If they say yes, then you know they have a chance of coming back. But then you could ask, even if they say that, do you believe that Jesus is God and Jesus is the Son of God? And if they say yes or anything to that, then you know that they're going to have some problems. But we just hope that they say no. And then you let them know, and then you let them know that Almighty God in the Holy Quran, he don't say, oh, you Muslim. He said, oh, you who believe. Those are the things that's important to let them know, and let them know that Almighty God will forgive them for all their sins except putting a partner with thee. And those are important words that we need to tell our children when they come in and say those kind of things, you know. And so I say that, and I say that because I said now, I said, what it is, I said, why are they saying this? I said, because it's time for us to do. They don't see nothing. They see Muslims doing things, the same thing as everybody else doing. And so now that so we have to, it's time for us to start doing things and showing our children, you know. And I said, I made a pact with Allah. I said, Allah, whatever I got, I'm going to try to, my duty is to make sure that I can help build something so we can teach our children, have a place where we can have a dawah, no more than a dawah center. We can teach them and teach those that wants to know about Almighty God, because right now, when you hear our children say that, boy, that means that we are in trouble. That means we're not doing something. And they could come back, because I've seen many children, you know, as I grew up, and I've seen many true stories where children have left the flock and they came back. When they saw their parents was doing this and doing that, they came back. So alhamdulillah, that's one thing I want to say. That's a sad thing when your child come to you and tell you something that I'm not Muslim anymore, and especially when they know the truth. And there's a saying, and I need to find out if there's a saying. They saying once you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then you go back. I can't remember how. I wish I could. Someone could remember what they say. That's a great sin when you do that, and that is something they need to know too. You need to let them know all of that. So, and alhamdulillah. That's what I want to say. That's what I want to say.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's definite. That's a definite. We do have to still continue. Alaykum salam. Brother Aimi?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you trying to say something?
Yes, ma'am. I met Brother. No, I'm just letting the Brother Rashad off. We went to Brother Zay. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Karar. We went to Brother Zay's Janaza. Brother Zay, you know, with Dawah Bookshop?
Yes,
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Karar.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Right. He returned to Allah, and he had a big turnout. The Janaza. Brother Zaid out here. Brother Zaid is a businessman, and he have a business called Dawah Bookshop. He advertised in the Muslim Journal, and he sells oils and incense all over the United States, you know. And so he had a nice send off. Half the people there was not African American, you know what I mean. So he must have been really dealing with a lot of people in a lot of different ways, you know. And so he had his family, you know, because he had multiple marriages, wives. So he had a big family, and they was out there. Excuse me, if I'm taking up time, if y'all would just...
You are fine.
I'm sorry.
No, you are just fine. Continue. You can continue.
Yes.
Thank you. You can continue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. So he had those big Hershes for his family out there, Orange County. It was held at the Islamic Center of Orange County. And it was huge. And... one of the things that kind of stood out is I saw one of his sons, you know, in passing, and I just asked him. I said, "Hey, y'all gonna continue the business? Because Zaid had a thriving business, big business." And he said, "Man, I can't discuss none of that now, none of that." So I thought, "Man, why did he?" You know, why did he kind of put me off like that? You know, I was just, you know, hey, because, you know, that's what we want. We want our children to continue the business. But the thing is, they not only had children, multiple children by multiple women, but he might have more than one or two wives, you know what I mean? So there it go, you know what I mean? There it go right there, and, you know, maybe some of them women been with him for some years, you know what I mean? And I said, oh, wow, because the brother was telling me, yeah, man, it's more to it. It's just what this is, because he got children, but also other spouses, so.
That's,
I remember a brother told me. I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. And what the law has changed, I know in California now, I'm just speculating. We just talking just for education.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But in the past, brothers used to marry women and then kind of like leave the women hanging when they didn't have a license. But in California, they changed that. Because there's probably with so many Muslim men marrying women and leave the woman hanging that the California legislature changed the law now. And these Islamic marriages have teeth in them now. You know, you just can't, dog the system no more. So there's a whole lot to it. And because I know about the brothers, I said, Bill, I can't discuss none of that right now. I just ask you, y'all gonna continue the business, you know, because them little brothers
uh-huh,
be there.
Uh-huh. Simple question,
they be selling them oils and incense and all. Oh, good God, and they had books, they had prayer rugs, they had incense holders, the metal ones. Oh, they had And he advertised Muslim Struggle for many, many, many years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, yeah.
Wow.
So,
you know,
so
with
really a very nice.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But you know with that polygamy, when you have, unless the brothers are just not committing adultery, just doing, committing, what do you call it? Not adultery, but fornicating. Unless they're just fornicating and having children, you know, then if they marry two or three wives or even two wives and they marry them in Islamic law, then that's a marriage right there, polygamy. That's a marriage right there, you know. And it should be, in the world, there's a thing that you have to understand and information, history gathered that you have to understand about polygamy. You know, and know how it works when anybody's interested in it. But then, too, you can marry by Islamic law as well as a law of the land when you marry. And you can marry by the law of the land, and then you have another wife or two, and you can marry Islamically. So all of them are considered marriages. And wives.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those, well, mm-hmm. by law of the land, you know, that's the regular. By law of the land, you know what you want to do with that. You have to go to court in order to, you can't just, but in Islamic law marriage, you just say, I divorce thee, and then you go through that 3 months or 90 days, and you're divorced. But then in the law of the land, you have to go through a divorce court and all that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah, but that's the brother's right. They can marry by law of the land as well as polygamy another one.
But my point was the sisters got protection here now in California.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Where I think in the past they didn't really have protection, especially when the brother had possessions, money, and land, and whatever, houses, whatever, you know. So that's what I think probably is going to happen, you know. But we're going to, you know, shop. But he really had a nice takeoff, nice send-off. That facility out in Orange County, I know. You know, like we always could brag on everybody else. You know, like we was the one who drug through the mud and beaten and every raped and everything. And yeah, because these Indo Packs out there, those Indo Packs have had $1,200, $1,300 with Islam, years of Islam.
Mm.
They have a history, they got a culture, they knew what to do. But that facility out there, they even got a mortuary on their property. They got a huge school. It looked like just a regular, like a big high school,
a monastery.
But they have the Islamic State of Orange County, they got a thrift store, got all these beautiful clothes and books and everything, because I guess people donate big time, the clothes, come get this, come get that. I bought some stuff to, kind of like decorate my house and everything with some calligraphy and stuff. But they got a mortuary and a big campus of school.
Wow.
Like it got a huge masala, and the stained glass, like in a church, you like the stained glass, but they got stained glass with calligraphy in it,
right? Instead of statues of Mary and all that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. And Jesus, so-called Jesus and stuff. Yeah. So this is pretty nice, and it was good to see that because. This is what we want. This is what we want, and we want something better than that. And this is what we could have. And I was wishing, I was saying, if I was an imam, I don't know how I couldn't really go after the really big stuff after seeing this. I mean, I would want for my community the same thing that these people got. And these people want to just satisfied with staying in a. Just satisfied with staying in a little storefront. I don't see how they could even stand to do that.
Mm-mm.
After seeing, all they need to do is just visit. Now, there's probably other masjids like that
around
the United States. But if they want to see something nice, go to Islamic Center of Orange County. And the brother Muzdamil Siddiqui. I remember. You know, he said one time, Imam Muhammad was about to speak, and so he was bringing Imam Muhammad on, and he said, my imam, Wahid Uddin Muhammad, And everybody said, yeah. But when the imam came on, he says, and here's my imam, Muzdamil Siddiqui. He says any good imam is my imam.
Alhamdulillah.
So,
Rajiun. From Allah we come, we must return. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thanks for that.
Any good imam is my imam too.
That's right. Now, what county is that you say in L.A.?
Orange County. No, not Los Angeles. Orange County. Where's it? Yeah, Islamic Center of Orange County. I think that's in Garden Grove, because we buried Zaid out Garden Grove. So, Garden Grove. But it's Orange County. That's Orange County.
Okay. I would love to see that place. Well, all right. Thank you for that information. Good to hear that some imam has really done something, doing something to as an incentive for others, inshallah, to get on the ball
and
start doing something.
Our appetite need to. Especially when it comes down to schools, our appetite need to grow. We need to grow appetite and look out for these children, so these children won't be coming up, and say, I don't want to be a Muslim no more because they don't see nothing. They see these other people with everything, and I don't want to be a Muslim, and we ain't got nothing. We don't take them on trips to see a rocket launch. We don't do nothing. And then have seven schools, a damn shame. Excuse me.
It you is.
Know, it's doggone shame. It's doggone shame. And yeah, and yeah, see that. I that hurt me. That hurt me. You know, I don't want to be a Muslim no more. Ain't that something? Mm, you
know, a child.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. See. Yeah. You know, and we could do all this talk, but come on, somebody got to build something. Got to get in there and take some lumps.
That's
you know,
true.
Get in there and try to do something.
Yeah, that's true. I have to give it to Atlanta, though, you know, and I know it's probably not the only one that I know of at this time, besides what you just mentioned. So Atlanta is really in the youth, and even from Sister Clara Muhammad's elementary school, you know, and K-2 or something like that, you know, kindergarten and all, they really got it. The children really have it made, and they have interesting things to keep them interested in going, you know, and they do go on trips, and they do have a basketball team, girls and all, and the brothers have a basketball team. So they're really, and then they just got Halima's son as a principal. Really behind him, and is doing very, very good. Doing good, alhamdulillah, and inshallah, it'll do better. We just have to get more like them. Got to get more places like that. That's all.
Alhamdulillah. I want to add on something that the brother Hameen was saying about the marriage, and I just had one to know that that's a federal law. I think there's a federal law that I remember when I was in L.A., they made a law that if if a woman has a child for a man, then that man passed, then that child have rights. As long as that mother have that man's name on that birth certificate, then she mm-hmm. have that child have rights. He could get some of his inheritance. And also, if she stay with that man for about, I'm not sure, it's three. I know it's 6 months for sure, but I said 3 to 6 months and mm-hmm. show that address. Then she have rights. She have the same rights as she was married to him. It's just like they are married.
Mm.
I remember that very clearly. You know, on that. You know, when a woman could stay with a man. You know. So and also I want to say I was reading the Bible. I was getting some information. You know, out of the Bible, and I came across where. In the Bible, that they have two wives too.
Yep.
And I said, dang. And I said, dang. I said, they don't even honor it. They act like they don't even. It's like they don't acknowledge it. But it's right there that they could. They also is allowed to have two wives too. Alhamdulillah.
Well, more than less, it's time immemorial.
All right.
Since time immemorial has been in the Bible, and that's why when they had this man, what was his name, down in Texas. We had all these wives and little girls, teenagers, 13, married them 13 years old and all this stuff. I forget the name of that group. But they jailed him, finally. They jailed him, but that's the way they were living. It was one man.
But I want to say, I ain't going to cut you off, Sister Diane, because sometimes I forget, because I had wanted to say this. You know, doing here in the South, because my sister got married when she was 13. She got pregnant for this guy. He was 18 and she was 13, and they got married. It's legal here. It's legal. Basically, it's legal if the parents sign the consent. If she consents for her child to marry at 13, then basically they go 13. They don't go like no 12. They use like 13 or either when that child begin to have a cycle and she get pregnant, then she could get he could sign and let her marry that man, you know, and that was legal there, because when they kept saying this thing about, I know I'm not just saying, and I'm not on his turn about that movie star Art Taylor, I don't know what was going on with that, but if he had married those women, they did it. They rather for, because I had my daughter, she was 16 years old, and she got active. I was trying to get her married. If they doing everything that married people are doing, you need to get them married.
Yeah.
You remember when Imam W. Right. Muhammad said when the hormones started jumping like a disco and the young Muslim sisters and brothers were out getting out of hand, he asked the parents to bring them into the home. Maybe the brothers' parents would let them get married and live in their home until they were old enough so that he got a job where he could sustain them, you know, take care of them. That's the way it was then, back then. And Imam W.D. Muhammad asked for that, and a lot of it was done, too, and it worked.
And I'm going to tell you one thing.
Yeah,
I bear witness.
Huh?
You know what? Let me tell you one thing.
What you say, brother? Excuse me, come on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, ain't that civilized? That's so civilized.
It is.
You know?
Right.
Ain't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
Alhamdulillah.
So civilized.
Because I can remember when I was 16 years old, this guy was 24. And I said, and you know, he was trying to get me to come out my house because, you know, they was young. They started to be coming out the window at night when everybody be asleep, you know, like that. So he was trying to get me to do that. And although he was 24 and I was 16, I didn't see that age like that. I didn't see it like that. The only thing I didn't do because I was scared of my dad. Boy, I ain't lying. It's good to have a daddy around. I was scared of my dad. My dad, if I got that one, and the neighbors tell. Then they get in the barbershop, and they be talking about, when they get in the barbershop, they be talking about how good this is and their family and their children, and then they'll start hinting around the way. I ain't going to tell you because I saw your daughter out there. They'll tell. They tell. So they'll let that, before you know it, he will know because they will let him know. That's the only thing I was afraid of. I'm telling you. So when you get to a certain age, a sister, did they be ready? Because I remember the time he was working, then he had some guys he was working with, you know, like when he was doing his janitorial work. And so he brought sometimes he'll bring his workers in, you know, like that. And I was just about 13 or 14 years old, and he brought this guy. He was looking at me like I was a woman. But I know he was too old for me.
Well,
that would never happen.
Still exists. Something like that still exists. You got the older men that are still looking at younger women. You've got the older women that are still looking at younger men. You've just got all these sorts of things, and it's okay with that. But do it the right way. Doing it the right way is the thing. You know, you got to be civilized with it too. I mean, why would you take a 12-year-old child for anything other than the physical? When you know she can't cook, you know, probably, and she probably can't clean, she's probably still being taught at home of how to be a family, mother or a family person, you know. But it's up to the individual. Maybe he's willing to teach her. Older man got a younger, maybe he's willing to teach her. You find something like that, too.
When they go 12 years old, those are pedophiles. When they go 12 years old, those are pedophiles. It's 14. Sometimes like 13 and 14, like that, you know, those are the ages right there. But when they go like 12 years old, those guys are pedophiles right there. You don't look at no child like that, not no 12. They wait till they get to in their teens. And then,
you can,
you know.
Quran, if you got a parent's consent, because it used to happen in El Islam, I'm telling you, and Akbar can tell you, and Brother Clark can tell you, Akbar, didn't these older brothers used to marry these younger sisters with the parents' consent, whether she was 12, 30 or whatever her age might have been.
Oh,
it used to happen in El Islam.
Alhamdulillah. Yep. I'm not going to say it then because sometimes at 12 years old, they overdevelop too. They do. They overdevelop. They did develop.
Right.
I ain't lying. That's right.
Some look older than they really are. Yeah, they do.
I remember there used to be a radio show here in Los Angeles called The Front Page. And it was a brother named Carl Nelson, and sometimes he used to have kind of like one of them Afrocentric brothers like working with him. And when the Imam first dropped that on us about you know, let the young people get married, you know, early instead of had him going out from person to person to person to person, and that wasn't good for health or anything else. So I told him that on it was a talk show. you call a front page out here. And I told him that what Imam Muhammad said, and this one little, you know, guy on the radio show, you know, he kind of like was mocking me like I was saying something stupid. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, all them people start calling in and says, my grandmama was 13, you know.
That's right.
And my auntie was 14. It was they start calling in bearing witness to
my grandmother 13
marriages for grandma and everybody. Yeah, you know,
that's right.
People used
that's
to get
right.
buried early.
Yeah.
And I said, got his butt.
That's
you know,
right.
he called himself making fun. You know?
Yeah.
That's common sense. That's common sense. It's civilized.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You know what I mean? That you know, because your kids, your girls, or, you know, even your boys. And stop
mm-hmm.
making
yeah.
the boys. Here, you know, put this rubber, you know,
that's right.
Put this condom in your wallet. Whatever
that's
you want,
right.
You know what I mean? You know, son, it's okay. It's okay, doctor. Son, it's okay to not
yeah.
have sex. It's all right. He's still a boy. He's still a man. You're gonna be a man.
That's,
you know, but don't just you stick this condom in your wallet. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever, you know
doing it that way. I'm going to get married. Bring them in the house with you. Help them out until they can. Y'all can
yeah.
help each other. You know, the family can help each other. So,
right. And then start teaching your boys about marriage when they're very young, when they're little boys. That marriage is the norm. You know,
oh, yeah.
Marriage is the right thing.
That's
even
right.
Little, 2 years.
Yeah, they have
you know,
to know. Like, I'm going to tell y'all something. Brother Hamid, you know Brother Hamid now that's on the Lifeline, the one that's doing the with the youth on the Lifeline with Moz Cares. I knew Brother Hamid. Brother Hamid was 2 years old. I remember when he was born in Nashville, Tennessee. That's the Imam's Yusuf and Sister Mahasan's baby son, the ones that's assisting Imam down there now in Nashville, Tennessee. I remember Hamid was born, and then Hamid got 2 years old, and Hamid started talking about, I got to get me a wife. When he was 2 years old, and we used to tease
right.
Hamid.
Right.
Yes, we used to tease
right.
him, but... Yeah, but that was a family-oriented master there. You know, we all grew up like neighbors and like our families knew each other from growing up, you know, back in the areas there in Nashville, Tennessee. So, yeah, started teaching them. Have started teaching them.
Right.
They have.
Okay, I'll stop making them. I got to turn it back over to you. I got to go. You know, I'm a caregiver, so I got to take care of stuff.
Oh, that sounds so good, a caregiver. Yes. Oh, that's good. Good. Okay, brother. I mean, thank you for your input.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Rahmatullah. Barakatuh.
But you said something, Dahiya.
Alhamdulillah.
I was going to say something, Dahiya, you said something, is that that's what we need to get back, and that's what was missing. One of the things that's missing is family life, you know. Our children,
yeah.
Like I was telling somebody, I said, my children don't know no Muslims out here. Isn't that something? They don't know no Muslims out here that they could, you know, talk to and be with or anything like that. I said, that's not good. That's
mm-hmm.
not good at all.
Mm-mm.
And I said, not my children. My children know Muslims because, you know, because they grew up, you know, when they went to Sister Clara Muhammad School in L.A., so they still keep in contact with them. I should say my grandchildren don't know.
Right. Yeah, they're the ones who get cheated. Yeah. They're the ones who get cheated. Because I know my
right.
great
that's
telling you. I'd be praying. I said, you know, if I wasn't married, I would just go on back home to Nashville and open up a school, you know, at home even, you know, or between two of our homes, the family members' home, maybe mine and one of the granddaughters, you know, something like that, and teach our great-grandchildren, teach our little ones, you know, because all together we got a school, we got about 25 little ones all together running around, you know.
That's right.
And this was made me make up my mind about a daycare here. I said, well, I can do daycare here. I can't run around behind the dangerous 2 year old, you know, and all in the bigger ones, 3. I said, but I can help someone to help me. I said, but if I get some in the crib, I can pick them up easily. You know what I'm saying? Sit in a rocking chair with them or didn't change them, you know, and still got to have some help either way you go. So, but I wanted a mixture of the ones in the crib and the ones running around because I want to be able to teach them, at least 3 of them, be that age, you know. And there's enough room here in the house for that.
You know, I heard a mother cry out today because here it is. So she had a child that was, you know, on YouTube again, a child that was, no, it was just on the news. The child was just no more than about 16, 17 years old, straight-A student, and the police shot him. Just shot him down. Just shot him down. And I can't think, and then he didn't have no gun. They said, come on, he had a rifle. I said, how he's going to have a rifle? He didn't have no rifle. He didn't know nothing about no rifle crossing the street going somewhere, you know. And I said to myself, I said, are our children the only one that's getting shot? I remember when I was just like, when I was growing up, and I remember they were saying that our children, our boys, you know, our boys, they won't live to be 27 years old, you know, because of the police. They was completely just shooting them, you know, always killing them. And I just said, as our children, the only one targeted, that's a tradition for them or something like that. And then I said, but I know back in the day they have initiation. The Klansmen, they had initiation that for them to be getting into the Klansmen, they have to kill a black person or either a Jew, either one of them, they have to kill, you know, like that to get into this initiation like that. And that's the police do too. And they used to have every year that they just automatically just kill someone, you know, like they said, half of the police force are basically like Klansmen. So I'm just saying, are our children the only ones being targeted? Or are they just putting fear into them like that? Because I never see them shooting Mexicans down. I never see them see no other race down but our children. And it's still our young boys that they're doing. So the mother cried. She said, this is enough.
Right.
This is enough. That's right. Yeah. And I said to myself, if they practice what's in the Holy Quran and also was in the Bible, like your husband said too, he said a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth. I said, you're supposed to, once you start fighting back, then you're going to have no more problem. They're going to think twice about messing with your children.
Yeah.
And
but
then the thing about
it
is I have economic power. Go ahead. I'm going to talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, see, but they are afraid. The children are afraid to fight back because of what's going on. And the parents themselves, half of them too, they still hung up on that image themselves, so they don't know no better. They get afraid and scared too. So you can't do nothing
scared. That image.
Yeah.
Right back to that image. That's right. They're right back to that image. Believing in when they see that Caucasian face, they see that fear, you know, like I can't shoot him. That's the main thing. And that might be psychological in their head that they can't shoot.
Yes.
They can't shoot back.
Right.
That might be psychological in their head that we need to get out of their head and let them know. I said they die like you. And they human beings too, just like you. And you have the right to protect. See, they feel that because they a police officer and carry that, you have the right to protect yourself. You have the right to live. They say any human being would think about self first.
That's right.
So you got to protect. You got to teach them. We got to teach our children to don't fear that. You have the right to protect yourself.
Sure you do.
You have the right to do that.
First preservation is the first law of nature. You got to look after yourself, take care of yourself.
Right.
And we got to teach our children that. They used to do it at the mosque up in New Jersey. We used to teach martial arts up there. Sisters had a class, brothers had a class, and we had those classes, you know, starting from children, younger ages, and on up. We had those classes.
That was that image. That's that image. That's what that is. That's that image. You have to let them know that you have the right to protect yourself. I don't care if they do have a badge. he don't have the right to. Once he pull that gun out on you, you know that, because automatically, every time they pull a gun out, they shoot it.
You know
they
it.
Say, don't, he said, don't point a gun at nobody if you ain't going to use it.
Ain't going to use it. That was what I was saying back in the day. Don't pull nothing out on nobody if you ain't going to use it, whether it's a gun, switchblade, knife, whatever. Don't pull it out if you're not going to use it.
And that's what I teach our children, and that's what we have to teach them. And the police, they know who exactly who they're messing with. Half of the time, they know. They know who exactly who he's stopping.
Oh, yeah. You know they do. You know they do. See, and it's like a virus going on with them, with the little dark-skinned children, you know, or young people. Or dark-skinned people, period. It's like a virus with them. They got to do it. I mean, running rapid, running crazy, they running scared themselves. The police are, because they're just as afraid of you as you are of them, so they got to put up some kind of a facade to make it seem like they're not scared, but they're scared as hell. Oops, excuse me. Because, you know, in New York at one time...
Hell ain't no bad word, huh? I mean, it's a bad place to go.
Well, no, it's just the idea of me trying to control myself. That's all.
Oh,
that's why. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what that was. I tell you,
if you say hello, you're saying hell is low. Because people say hello, I say, yes, hell is low.
Okay, girl. Okay, Karan. Okay, Chichi, I got you. What is it, Akbar?
Do you see a match one?
Do I see who?
Do you see my hand up? I told that board it messed up.
I don't see your hand up. I don't even see your number on the board.
Well, I hear you.
You got your cell phone?
Uh-huh.
See, it's not even on the board.
I told you these people are holding me, holding people off the board.
Curse them, DAM devils. Messing with our board. You want to say something? Do you want to use his phone? Say something? He wanted to say something. He was using his cell phone. His phone didn't even call in, but his phone didn't even show up on the board. Huh?
I can't wait till y'all come back out of here again.
Hold on a minute, Karan. Can I hear you? No. No, I cannot hear you. Your name is not on. I mean, your phone is not up here, so I can't put your mic on. Oh Lord, you hang up and call back. Okay. What you say, Karan? Yeah, he's having a problem with his phone.
I'll just say, let him use your phone. I know that because I'm on.
I asked him if he wanted to use my phone, but he said no, he wanted his to work because he want to know why it's not working. See, he hung up. He's calling back in. That's what he had asked you to do, hang up and call back in. No, I don't see you now. Sure don't. It's not taking. Devil is busy. They've been out here looking at this sign here lately like everything. Look like, you know, since the Christmas, they've been out here looking at this sign and taking pictures. And everything. They were noticing it before, but they weren't noticing as much, huh?
I said, that's good. I'm doing it now.
Yeah, they've been looking at it and taking pictures and everything, but now you're wondering what's next.
Sister Daya, because they see that their children is getting, you know, our children is getting killed by these police officers. So now they begin to realize and see that image, that's what it is. Move all racial image from worship, you know, and then that's what that is right there. They begin, they waking up. You'd be surprised how many Muslims are out there. And you'd be surprised sometimes, even the preachers in church, they be teaching Islam. I went out, I was in the church one time because, you know, the only time basically I go is when, like, I have one of my classmates, you know, like I grew up with, then I go to their funeral, you know, like that. And I go to start to see all my other people, all the ones that I'm in the classroom with, too. But anyway, I and one preacher was up there preaching, and I said, dang, he's preaching the same thing. He was preaching Islam.
Okay, let me say something. I saw them late come, Sister Karan.
Well, they got the lamb.
Let me say this. We're here in Atlanta, when the nation, we just walk around and say the papers, brother, police, call this up, going to intervene, jump the brother, hit the brother, brother, hit him back. Police reached for his gun. He took his gun and killed the police. They had shot one of us and killed the police. Before that happened, that I wasn't even no Muslim. Every week they were shooting, killing one of us. They were killing African Americans, shooting them down. They had no gun, knife, or nothing. Nothing was done about it. The African American mayor and all this stuff couldn't do nothing.
Who was mayor then?
Maynard Jackson. Couldn't do nothing, couldn't fire the police. But when they killed that police, we didn't have no more killings of any African American, and they do what they do best, lie on you, call you a terrorist, and they the terrorists. They want to kill, so an eye for an eye gonna work. You kill one of them, I don't see how we can figure that. We can go overseas and they can tell us some lies that our enemy over there and give us a gun to go over there and kill our enemy, but we can't kill our enemy here.
That's why Muhammad Ali said, ain't no Vietnamese done
nothing
to me.
Ain't never been. Muhammad Ali said, no Vietnam never called me a nigger. The folks don't bother me.
That's why he
told me, you don't even stand up with me. And you supposed to be a Christian. You don't stand up. So y'all hypocrite. That's what he told them. Whole bunch of college students. By his head. So y'all a bunch of hypocrites. See, we've been honoring and bowing to these people.
Yes.
Who should be respected and bowing to us because we the heroes. We did all the right things and they did all and more wrong things than any people that you can put your hands on.
They're scared now, though.
Huh? They should never be scared of us. Mm-hmm. Allah say he is the revenger. So they can't get away with it.
That's right. But what about my life and my death? All for Allah.
That's where you're going if you die. No matter you're a Muslim, Jew, or Christian, you're going, whether you're a hypocrite or not. Mm-hmm. You're going to Allah. Your life and death is all for Allah. Because he said, so tell your children they got opportunity to serve God. But God don't make nobody worship him. Mm-hmm. If a child got sick enough to do certain things, and he ma'am said, that child is not innocent. Probably mama said, that child is not innocent. If he can think and do the wrong, and he know the opposite of wrong is right, and then he don't want to give credit to God, God is independent of anything.
Mm-hmm.
It might be your child, but it all belongs to God. So if the child don't want to do what Allah said do, then guess who he doing? Who he doing what he wants to do? You can't aim at two forces that we can obey, and that's the God and the devil. So you tell them which one they want.
Then you follow God. Who
you follow? You got to give them opportunity. Which one do you follow? Who you follow? Who is your God? Who is your maker?
That's right.
Huh?
It's wonderful.
Do you believe in life after death? Tell them about life after death. That you're going to win you. This life is just temporarily. This life is a testing that you're going through. You're going to die if somebody don't kill you, or you're going to kill yourself one way or the other, and you leave him. And then wherever you go is where you earn. You didn't do nothing right, you don't get nothing good. You did everything you possibly could to do right,
getting married, staying a man. You're a woman staying in a woman place, being a woman, being a decent woman like Mary, a Prophet Muhammad's wife, or the other good women in Scripture. If you don't try to do that, you want to follow the TV, whatever TV says, give me a tattoo earring, give me 2 boyfriends, give me 5 girls. If you want to do all that, then you asking for the fire. You're asking for the hell. God had no need. God has given us an instruction through Scripture. If we fail to follow that instruction that he has given us through Scripture, even the Bible have enough truth in it to make any ignorant person live a good life, because in doing living a good life, it also explained to you those before you that lived a bad life. They got burned up. They got drowned. They got set on a fire. They got starved to death. They got thrown over. They jumped over the mountain. They worshiped the wrong god. They throw their children to the fire god. All this dumb stuff that God showed them they shouldn't be doing. It's in Scripture. But if they fail to believe in Scripture, who can they blame with all these books in here to talk about God? But they will read about Playboy and Playgirl and who looks the baddest, who looks the sexiest. Then they got that right. But they have no right to ask God to let them in into paradise, because they know right from wrong. So we love all children that are our children. That when the worst thing that we have done to the Caucasian people is saying thank you, Jesus, and holding them up as the Son of God. That's the worst thing have been done to the Caucasian, that have made them insensitive to the other people of the world. Because they think they came in God's image. So they walk around with their nose up. They treat everybody who's dark or who ain't one of them low down. And instead of them saying, well, I'm coming to the family of God, I'm a decent person, I'm going to show them how to be decent, I'm honest, I'm an honest trader, and I'm an honest person. That's not so. The judges in this United States are the number one enemy of the African-American people. What we should be doing is coming together, finding out what they own, and soon as we find you want to hurt them, we'll stop going in their store, start picking their store, stop buying from the dollar store. Many of these Republicans own all of the dollar store. Stop buying, go out to the dollar store. Stop buying from them. Do like they did when the bus boycott was going on in Alabama. What brought that thing down, African American would not catch the bus. So our power is holding back our money. If we ain't ready to do that, Caucasian people going to continue to shoot the boy down. Not only I can look at YouTube right now. Not only they have shot boys down, they done killed girls. Be old women, they got beat an old 75, 85-year-old African-American woman. They done cussed a Caucasian woman out, a young girl locked up for nothing. They done did some few Caucasians like that too. So they do. So some of them is so evil. They got wives, so they can't beat their wives, so they beat the citizens that look like their wife, talk back like their wife.
They got a license to kill.
They got a license to kill. And what did you find them for killing some? He can go somewhere and get a job in the next county over. So find him ain't hurt him. He still get his pension. He still get retirement. Kill that sucker. Sure. You stop there. Well, I had to be honest. We had to kill that beast. Our God said, who can wage war with the beast? Huh? You can't be minimal or be scared when truth is standing out clear from falsehood.
That's right.
You either believe in God or you believe and allow them to continue to go to hell killing you, because that's where they're going. When they mistreat you, you're going to hell. You're going to heaven and you're going to be asked, why didn't you stand up? You say you believe in God, why you didn't? Give it all. Give it 100%.
Mm.
God said, I would have protected you.
Mm.
Huh? So we've been made jealous. We've been made enemy of each other. This is the plantation scheme and game they pulled on us to divide us and conquer us. There's no more than the scheme of the devil. No more than the scheme of the devil. So sister, you tell your children the truth. You tell them the truth. They ain't got to talk to no Muslim. Everybody you see is a Muslim. God said he ain't created no person that he created a Muslim. If there's a Christian they with, and that Christian has got an image and worship them image, that's not a Christian, that's a pagan. They can't be a Christian. You can't be a Christian and you don't love God first. Like Jesus said, I didn't come on my own, but God sent me. If they don't follow that, I hear the devil talking about 10 seconds and all that. Man, I'm telling you, thank you, girl. I'm turning back over to Diane.
I just want to ask one question.
Yeah.
Can I just ask one question, Sister Dyer? I just want to know, name me one president that said, stop killing those, tell those police officers to stop killing those African-American children. Name me one.
Name a mayor. Name a man. Name some town. You can't name no. I tell you what. Name me the army, the navy, and the marine that protect us, that will go and fight to protect our right. Name one of them. Name one of the branches of service that protect us.
What they go there for?
Our people go there to keep them in power, mm-hmm. keep them serving them, keep racism going. That's the only reason our people in the army.
Satisfy
the white. Scared, trying to make a dollar, keep them people in power to be over us.
Mm-hmm.
No, the army serve the people that look how they crucify your son. They crucify your son. How many African Americans you get the support? And why they ain't getting no support? But let them get some blip in them and get some guns. They can kill each other.
Wait a minute, she's saying something.
Okay, sister, go ahead.
This is all I wanted to say, that Allah is so merciful. How do Satan get his power? It's the power that we give him. As long as we let them do it, they're gonna keep doing it.
And Eli made it clear. Right. We give them power because Satan gave us nothing. Promise us this. Promise us beauty. Promise us a long life. Promise us money. And all this other stuff. Why he owned everything. That's a promise. Just like he promised the Indians. He signed the peace treaty. We should be pointing to them to make them better and let them know how Elijah Muhammad was a man. Elijah Muhammad said, "Hey, you're a devil," and they didn't argue with him.
Geronimo said, "They speak with a forked tongue.
They pale face. They liars." And you can see it every night on TV. They're the best liars, and now they got our people being the best liars, the best killers, walking up to each other in the movies, shooting dope, shooting each other up on a car for a corner, and they're talking about we own this corner. No, we own nothing. But they got to put them lies out there to feed us so we back off of them. Like you said, they want to call you a militant. What do you think they did to Jesus? What do you think they did to Prophet Muhammad? They got peace and love. They call them militant. They call them terrorists. Everything they call you, if you're going to stand up, you're going to get called more than that, because the coward people that won't stand up, the punks and the faggots and the unnatural people they done made, will stand against you. Sometimes your own family members will stand against you because they say you crazy. My mom used to say crazy. I said, my mom believe in one God. You don't believe. You believe in a man as God. She would get mad and wouldn't say nothing. She know that I was telling the truth. I said, you show me a man that God that didn't save himself. He died on the cross, but he's your savior. Why didn't he save himself first? See, they don't want to think. They don't
want to
think.
Akbar, just say, look, I was just thinking of something. Every race got an army. Name, and but we the only one that don't have an army. Every race got an army. Even the ones that even though they live in that country, they still have an army. They have soldiers to protect them. I said, we the only one that don't have our own, don't protect our own community and our neighbor.
Right.
We don't even have one.
Right. But
they all have one.
But we didn't, we, as BUII, we weren't talking about getting no army. We were talking about getting.
No, I was just
for my,
late.
For
yeah,
our,
go ahead.
Yeah,
for our children.
But Karan,
for our family.
Ask
the Moz Cares one day that you're on if there are young people, united together to help protect as an army when time comes. Just ask.
That's what I'm talking about. Because every time I keep thinking about it, they will ride through this neighborhood with guns and start shooting, and we can't do nothing about it. What are we going to do? I'm telling you. Because they've done it before.
I can tell you that there is. I have to ask you to ask for yourself so they can answer you.
Oh, alhamdulillah. You're right, alhamdulillah. Okay, thank you.
I tell you what, Imam said. Imam went into Hardee's to get some chicken, and the gangbangers came around and surrounded Imam Wahid Muhammad, and they asked her, what time you been coming here? Where are your security at tonight? Well, Imam told him, said, the best security is one you don't see.
One you don't see.
So that's the one been protecting us. One we don't see. Allah has been protecting. Allah is the one who has managed to make sure we still have, after all the evil we done lived in this world. And Allah doing that, that's telling us that God is with us because we want to do right, because we want to treat everybody right. We don't hate no babies. We don't hate no women. We don't even hate our Caucasian brothers, because God said none of us going to get to heaven until we love. And we will never get into heaven until we love for ourselves what we love for each other. And the Caucasian people will never, and they are never going to change until we point that out, until we tell them they ain't white, we ain't black, we're human beings, let's act like human beings. If we are not going to act like human beings, then there ain't no human being among us.
But Karan,
and that's what
we ain't got nothing to worry about, Karan. We don't have anything to worry about, though. We don't have nothing to worry about. Well, you know yourself we got a law. You know we got a law. You know that. But we don't have no dumb young people coming up now. We don't have no dumb young people now. And these young people here are like 40s, 30s. They're not afraid. Not afraid at all. They've been in the military. They've been in the prison system. They've been in the... Don't worry.
Let me tell you this. When Suja's son was getting in a fight at school, and they called Suja in there, and Suja went over and talked to the principal, and the principal come telling Suja, well, what we going to do, we going to watch him, and if they bother him, he come and tell us. Suja said, I'm not raising my son like that. Suja said, y'all at fault, because y'all know these guys right here jumping on my son. I teach my son to fight with them, to fight with you. An eye for an eye. He told him that. He said, no, if you hit my son, I take my son to fight back. And said, you know what the problem is? Y'all fix the problem. Because if I had to come up here and my son hurt, somebody going to pay for it. Somebody going to get sued. So I don't teach my son to turn the other cheek. Huh? Y'all should be teaching that to those people that starting to fight. I said, they the one wrong. My son is not wrong. He's not bothering nobody. And I tell him don't be the aggressor. But if somebody hit him, he has a God-given right to defend himself. That was Suja told the principal. And Suja said he had no more problems out of them people. Because they had to go and get rid of them thugs out who go in the jail, want to be bullying everybody. And they ain't mess with Suja's son no more. So that's the kind of attitude. That's the kind of talk you have to get. You have to get manly, a woman to talk. And one thing about you is when you're a woman, and you stand up, men listen to you as well as women. Especially if you don't show no fear. They said they disgusted that woman there don't play. And that's the way you want them to say. That woman right there do not play. So, okay, Sister Geek, so don't never... Let no tell them to call you a Milton. That'd be good because they keep them cowboys off of you. They keep them lazy and unnatural people off of you. They ain't going to bother when they stand up. They'll whisper, but their whisper ain't going to go no further than themselves. So I'm going to give it back to my wife. Y'all can close out.
You close out.
Oh, y'all close out. You go
more. Go ahead. I'm
Okay, I'm going to get rid of close out, okay?
Want close out.
You want to close out on Quran?
No,
but I'm going to
do
it. You want to close out? You want to close out? Quran?
Go ahead, Brother Akbar. You can go ahead on. Go ahead on.
I tell myself to be your Allah, trying to be a right with you who originated heaven and earth, though I'm not among the polytheists. My life and my death is all for you, the Lord of all the world. No associate that he, and this is as I am commanded. I'm the one who will bow my will in the will of El Islam, submit my will to do
right.
Your will. Amen.
Alhamdulillah. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Rahmatullah. Enjoyed it. Everybody be safe.
Yeah, you too, my sister.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother in New York, and sister Sharifa, and brother Muhammad. They can't answer back, but I know they hear me because this machine is acting up crazy. It won't even go off. Look at this crazy thing. They're messing with us.